Greatest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyar, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, heterosexual. You always got to get that right, especially in May. You can't say any phobic thing. Heterosexual, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 1-800-8-ENYART.
You've got mail.
Hey, I've got mail. 1-800-836-9278. Chandra Levy. Oh, by the way, it's an H-free zone. May, the whole month, H-free zone. That means no one, not the host, not the callers, not the sponsors, no one can use the H-word on the program for the entire month of May. And you can't even use the G-word. And don't even think of using the L-word or the Q-word. The Q-word is out. And so are the T-words. The T-words are out. And there's probably other words that are also out, this being an H-free zone. So we've got Chandra Levy. Police in Washington, D.C. are thinking that they may have found the remains of her body. I guess that's a bit premature. But the story out today, Wednesday, May 22nd, is that a skull and other human bones were found in a park early today, and police are trying to determine whether they are the remains of Chandra Levy. She's, recall, the 24-year-old intern who disappeared more than a year ago, and the number one suspect, although we don't know that they have a lot on him other than he had an affair, and he's lied repeatedly about his relationship with Chandra Levy. But it's U.S. Representative Gary Condit. Gary Condit from California. So according to the police, the possibility exists that it's a female, the bones, the human bones they found based on their preliminary investigation. The bones had been there for some time. And the police have searched that park repeatedly and extensively for Chandra's body. She disappeared last May, May 1st. In fact, that was the very day that our baby was born, Dominic. Dominic Enyart. Cheryl gave birth to Dominic May 1st, 2001. And so that's how I sadly can remember that day. So in that park is right near the apartment she lived in. And she often exercised there. So, sad story. India and Pakistan, things are getting out of hand there, and they might be coming to all-out war. But we're going to go to the phones. We're going to start out with our man in the street in Lansing, in Michigan, talk show host John Mangopoulos, who we've gone to for reports in the past. Hey, John, welcome back to Bob Inyart Live.
Bob, thank you for having me on a program. It's a great pleasure to be on the air with you anytime, anywhere.
Well, when we saw the promo that you were going to be on an ABC affiliate in Michigan later today, we thought we'd call you and get the scoop. What's happening?
Well, basically, we have a Republican congressman in my district here in Michigan.
A Republican.
A Republican, exactly.
All right.
And he has sponsored new legislation, which he calls the American Dream Down Payment Act.
American Dream. Now, I don't know about this act. The only reason it's important nationally is because you're going to be asked about it on TV.
Well,
but John, before you tell us what it is, let me guess. The American Dream Down Payment Act, that would be where people can work hard, save up money, and put a down payment on a house. That's the American Dream.
That has that has been thought of as the American dream.
Yes.
And by the way, we haven't thought about this act that is being proposed too much, Bob, and the reason why is that in the whole scheme of things,
yeah.
I mean, it's only $200 million.
Oh, $200 million? He's going to – wait a minute. Yeah, you're saying this is a spending act? This is something he's going to spend?
Well, of course. What else does the government do?
Well, the American Dream Act, if only the government would get out of our way a little bit so that we can have the freedom to work hard, save money, and come up with a down payment. That's Bob, the American dream.
Bob, you know what your problem is?
What?
Your problem is you think like somebody who wants to work hard and take care of his family and live the real American dream. What you need to do is just put that part of you aside for a second and start thinking like a low-life deadbeat who wants to live off of other people like a parasite. Can you think like that for a minute?
Okay, I don't know. It'd be hard. Let me tell you what I told my wife, Cheryl, last night.
All right.
In fact, we were leaving the park. We brought our three little ones, the three toddlers, 1, 2, and 4. To the park, we had
Hold
lunch
on now.
There.
You've numbered them 1, 2, and 4. Why don't you just number them 1, 2, and 3?
We have 1 of 7, 2 of 7, and 4 of 7.
Okay, I'm just kidding.
That's their ages, and so I brought my laptop to work, you know, to the park, and I'm working and playing with the kids, and Cheryl's got the kids and walking around the lake and with the stroller and the baby. And so, you know, if instead of working in the office, I can take my lunch, go with Cheryl and the kids to the park. And I said, honey, this is, not you, John, I said to my wife, honey, this is undoubtedly going to be the best time of our lives, even though we're working 12, 15-hour days or more, 6 or 7 days a week, no matter how great our life becomes, it can't get better than this. We're working hard. We love our children. It's just great. So,
Bob,
but go ahead.
I gotta tell you, just 2 weeks ago, my wife Wendy gave birth to our fifth child.
Congratulations!
And you are exactly right. We've got chaos here. I'm out running around trying to make money and trying to make the mortgage payments, and Wendy is running around here. We're homeschooling our children. There's five of them screaming. So when the kids come in, they've got the sand and grass clippings all over the carpeting and mud balls and just
absolute chaos,
but we're loving every minute of it.
Praise the Lord.
We're loving it.
What can be more enjoyable than the life God has enabled us to live? So what's with this Republican congressman in Michigan? What does he want to do?
Well, can I back up just for a quick second?
Yes.
Years ago, when I used to publish a newspaper called The Unreported News.
I remember that paper.
By the way, I have a surprise.
Yeah.
When The Unreported News was you know, canceled, so to speak, due to lack of funds.
Right.
Back when I was on the verge of bankruptcy.
Right.
But I never filed for bankruptcy,
no.
As you know.
Right.
We had to discontinue publishing. Well, since then, I have continued a weekly television show here in the Lansing area.
Which I have watched via videotape many times, and I've appeared on
it
as a guest.
And you have appeared on it.
Occasionally.
I am on the. I don't have a website yet. I don't have, I don't have, I don't know the, I guess the grit that you have to get these things really going. I took a beating on The Unreported News, but this year I'm planning on setting up a website for my television program, which is called The Battle of Ideas, and I'm going to be contacting the old subscribers of The Unreported News, and many of them I'm going to be sending
All right, well, hold on. We're going to take a break, and then we'll link to that website.
Bob Enyart teaches the Bible like few others, and one of the best ways to introduce yourself to Bob Enyart's unique style of Bible teaching is with the video Mount Moriah. It's a 2-hour feature video that answers all kinds of questions about the resurrection. Is there evidence for the resurrection still in existence today? Well, this entertaining and professionally made video will show you evidence of Christ's resurrection that has remained for 2,000 years. It proves that 1,500 years after God carved the law in stone, He carved grace in stone at Mount Moriah, and you can answer those who ask, those who doubt the resurrection.
Most people choose their long-distance company right after they see one of their funny ads on TV. At Lifeline Communications, we think that you'll choose your long-distance company for an entirely different set of values. It's true that Lifeline's rates are now 12 to 27% lower than the competition, as low as 6.9 cents on weekdays and as low as 4.9 cents on Sunday. But we're the only major long-distance company which gives away 10% of its income to spread the gospel. And we're the only long-distance company recommended by thousands of major ministries all over America. Plus, if you switch right now, we'll give you 100 minutes of long distance free. So what do? If you're serious about saving money and promoting the kingdom of God, you can do both with Lifeline. Long distance with a higher calling.
Give him a call, 1-800-684-2931. Bob's monthly Bible study. Join up, folks. Every Sunday night, we record a Bible study here in Denver, and we're going through the entire Bible. You can sign up for $24.95 a month. We send out 4 tapes a month every month. We distribute tapes right now to over 100 families around the country. Please join up. $24.95 a month. We can send them out automatically if you sign up by credit card. Give us a call, 1-888-836-9278. That's 1-888-8-NYARD.
We are back. Bob and Yart live. The lines are full, 1-800-8-NYARD. But on right off the bat, we've got the call that we placed to Lansing, Michigan. So, John Mangopoulos, we're hearing that the Battle of Ideas will be a website in the near future, and we will link to that from kgov.com.
Yes, and my plan is, by the way, to recontact all of the old unreported news subscribers and continue their subscriptions as a video subscription of the television show, The Battle of Ideas.
Hey, that's exciting. Let's do a little business on the air right now, John. Please consider, not only would you have your website, Battle of Ideas, your TV show, but please consider making that a program on kgov.com.
I would love to do that. I would just need your help in doing it, Bob.
All right. All right. So what are you going on ABC for?
All right. Let me just tell you in a nutshell. Most people don't know this, but years ago, within the last 5 or 6 years, the government shifted gears on how it handles the Housing and Urban Development Department of the government, which is a department, by the way, that should not exist. And remember this, anything called a program is unconstitutional.
Okay.
If the word program is used, you know automatically it's unconstitutional.
Very good point.
The
government should enforce laws against crime and provide infrastructure. That's
right.
It.
Well, during the Clinton administration, as you know, these government housing units are infested with crime and drugs and prostitution,
of course, all these kinds
of things.
Right, of course.
And of course, when you pay people to live that way, they're going to live that way.
Yeah.
Because obviously anyone that's getting paid to live, they're not going to be responsible.
Right. The pride of ownership is gone.
Exactly.
And even the responsibility of renting practically
is
gone.
During the Clinton administration,
both
Democrats and Republicans alike came up with a very bright idea.
Yeah.
They said, look, instead of paying people to live in these apartment buildings where there's all this crime, the crime is obviously caused by their surroundings. So what we're going to do
is pay them to get homes.
We're going to spend billions of dollars. In 1996 alone, Bob, they spent over $700 million, nearly three-quarters of $1 billion, to tear down these old, ugly old apartment buildings with graffiti and rats and mice and cockroaches.
Right. Urine smell and the whole bit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They spent $700 million that year alone to tear them down, and they started giving people direct checks so that they could, rather than live in that apartment building, they could live for free in the suburbs next door to you.
Right.
And so that way, you see, they wouldn't commit the crimes, and they wouldn't bring drugs into their house, and they wouldn't ruin those neighborhoods, you see, because then all of the law-abiding citizens around them would influence them, and then they would turn into respectable, honorable, tax-paying citizens.
Right, but of course, the same problem would exist in that the government is giving them money taken from their neighbors,
right,
which destroys their own moral lifestyle.
Exactly.
Right.
And so, in line with that...
All right.
Now we have a Republican congressman in Michigan sponsoring the American Dream Down Payment Act, which is endorsed, by the way, by the current Secretary of the U.S. Housing and Urban Development, Mel Martinez. He thinks it's great. In fact,
no surprise there.
Exactly. And what it is they're going to spend $200 million to provide down payment and closing costs for low-income people all over the country.
A mere pittance.
A mere pittance. I factored it out, Bob. I figured out how many people they intend to help. And if they gave every last penny of it and didn't have not even one red cent
of overhead.
Of overhead,
right.
Each of these couples might get $4,700.
Okay.
And you know that's never going to happen.
Right.
And even if it did happen,
right.
You know,
John, just real quick. The government gives money to people to help us.
To help us.
But first, they take it from us.
That's exactly right.
So they take it from the people, and then they get their cut, which is the overhead.
Right.
Which is billions of dollars a year, and then they give us back a lot less than they took from us.
Right.
And they think we should be happy.
Bob, we need to start thinking like Christians.
Hmm.
And even Christians in America do not think like Christians. They think, oh, how nice, we're helping poor people.
All right, so John, the bottom line is you're going on an ABC affiliate to criticize this Republican idea of giving welfare money to people, changing the definition of the American dream from working hard to getting a handout.
Right, that's exactly right. And I want to give you, I know I'm
so you got that sound.
I know you've got to get to other callers, but I want to give you two thoughts.
All right, well, John, work on that soundbite. He's changing the definition of the American dream.
That's exactly right. I will work on that. Here's a couple of thoughts for you.
Yeah.
Now, thought number one, if you work hard and make a lot of money and you try to avoid paying taxes, the government says you might even be a criminal.
Mm-hmm.
You're not doing your fair share.
Mm-hmm.
You could get in trouble for not paying enough. But if you sit on your duff and you become lazy, then the government says, oh, we want to help you. We want to give you money.
Right.
So that is an absolute perversion.
Right.
And remember, remember what Scripture says, you know, to those who have much, more will be given unto them. This is a paraphrase. And those who don't have even that which they have would be taken from them.
Yeah, and one of the mean people in the Bible said that. Who said, to those who have much, more will be given to them, and to those who have little, even that will be taken from them? What mean person in the Bible said
that? Well, it wasn't the mean, nasty God of the Old Testament. It was the mean, nasty God of the New Testament after he underwent therapy and became born again.
Right, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one who said that, and
proving that he was just as mean in the New Testament as he was in the Old.
That's right. And we're making fun of those liberal Christians who complain about that God in the Old Testament was mean.
Here's one last thought I want to leave you with.
All right,
After this, you know, we got to go.
Go ahead.
You can turn the phone off on me and say, get rid of this man. He won't stop talking.
All right, go ahead, real quick.
All right, here's the other thought. The government, with the civil rights legislation of 1964, which has been an absolute disaster for our country. You know, people don't realize, even Christians don't realize, there was once a time in America where a businessman could say, you know what, here's a married man with a family.
I'm going to pay him more.
So
he could take care of his wife and kids at home.
And this single
today,
woman
it's
over
against
here, I might not even hire her. She doesn't need the job as much as this guy taking care of the family.
Today it's against the law what the government has done to destroy families through the influence of feminists and spineless men.
That's exactly right. So what the government says is that you, businessmen, you can't show any favoritism.
To a married man with kids and a wife at home.
Exactly. But then what does the government do? The same government that says you in the private sector, we will punish you. You will become a criminal. We will fine you. We might even put you in jail if you show illegal favoritism.
Preach it, brother.
Then the same government says, guess what?
What?
You know what? You're poor. You're down and out. You've been lazy. You have three children out of wedlock. You don't have money for a down payment. We're going to help you. We're going to show favoritism to you by taxing that decent family that did things right. We're going to take money out of their bank account. We're going to take food from the refrigerator that feeds their children, and we're going to give it to these other people. The government shows favoritism, but they don't allow the private businessman to do it, and that is exactly backwards.
Preach it, brother John Mangopoulos from Lansing, Michigan. We couldn't agree more with you. Now we're going to Lakewood, Colorado. Lakewood, Colorado. Eric, speak your mind.
Hey, Bob. This is Eric, Theology Online, Eric.
Eric, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Eric from Denver Bible Church.
That's right.
The church, I don't mention enough on the show, but that I get to, I'm honored to pastor Denver Bible Church.
That's right. You're our pastor.
And we meet at Hampton and Wadsworth,
mm-hmm.
right near there. People could visit us on the web and get the directions to come and visit.
Yeah.
But Eric, you are the brain behind TheologyOnline.com, which we consider one of the ministries of Denver Bible Church.
Yeah.
And it's also one of the one of the best and one of the biggest Christian websites on the whole internet.
You know, definitely, as far as theology debate goes.
Yeah, theology forums.
Right.
Talking about the Bible and issues, theological, social, moral, as they relate to God. There's no place like it on the planet.
No. And we get a lot of the stuff that we discuss there is pretty much the same stuff you discuss on the show. It's just that people out there get their chance to speak their minds.
Yeah. Could you make an estimate for me, Eric, of how many posts to the forums have there been since the site? How long has the site existed?
Well,
Theology Online.
There's a little bit of a debate about that because I can't fully remember. We've gone through so many changes and didn't always have the domain name and everything. But
right. TheologyOnline.com and the theology forums that it grew out of have been around for a few years.
Yeah, about at least 3.5.
I know that I've occasionally looked at, you know, you would change your software and start all over.
Yeah, we've done that. We've improved, thanks to some of the people on there that have
helped support it financially.
Donated, because really this is, you know, we're not funded in any way by any church or any ministry or anything like that.
In other words, you're trying to get Denver Bible Church to kick in some
No. No, but we just rely on the participants.
Just like Bob and Yurt Live.
Yeah.
Exactly. So anyway, Eric, but just make some estimate. I mean, in some of the iterations, how many posts might there be at any given time?
Well, we try to delete them regularly. Otherwise, we'd use up all of our, the space on the web pretty much.
Yeah.
But just thousands and thousands. I mean, currently there's 39,000, posts on there.
Right. And I've sort of now and then just took a mental note where I'd see there was 40,000, 70,000,
yeah.
And then you start over 80,000. So I imagine it's between a 500,000 and 1,000,000 posts.
Yeah, if you were to add it up over the years, definitely.
Which is not the bogus number that websites will tell you about how many hits they have.
Right, that's a difference.
That's a irrelevant bogus number.
And not only that, but there's probably 80% of the people who participate never actually post or anything. They just go there and read and enjoy the debates that are going on and whatnot.
Right.
So,
okay, so you're calling just to let our audience know about Theology Online?
Yeah, so like if you're a right-winger and you want to go battle a left-winger, or if you're a left-winger and you want to come battle some right-wingers or whatever, here we are. And
TheologyOnline.com.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much for letting us know about that. We've never really, you and I have never talked about, for all the years we've linked to Theology Online, we've never talked about it on the show. So.
No, not on the show.
So good. I'm glad we're plugging it.
Okay.
God bless you.
Thanks, Bob. God
Goodbye,
bless you.
Eric. What a neat guy. Now we're going to go to Valencia, California. Randy, speak your mind.
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
Doing well, sir.
Hey, I read the plot about 2 years ago.
You did. Wow.
And I've listened to just about every Bible study that you have.
Okay.
And I've probably got just about all of your videos.
Oh.
And I've watched all of them.
Randy, you must be single-handedly paying our electric bill this month.
I may be.
Thank you very, very much for all that.
Well, I'm really grateful that there's someone like you out there that can teach the Bible as well as you do.
Oh.
And
that's so very kind of you. I'll give you 20 minutes to cut this out.
Well, it's changed my perspective on how I can witness to people.
Mm.
And I'm just so grateful because, like there's a situation in my life right now where one of the guys that worked for me, he's got a daughter that's 18 years old.
Okay.
And she has got some really bad health problems.
Mm.
And she, she's been in the hospital for the last week. She just came home yesterday.
Right.
And maybe, you could have your church pray for her and for the doctors to, have wisdom in what she's going to need is a heart transplant.
Oh, wow.
She's
18 years old.
18 years old, right.
Oh,
she's a, she goes to college right now. She was like valedictorian in her school. And
all right. Well, it seems like you had a question or something. So hold on. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, we've got a live spot here. Bob Enyart. We're just talking to Randy from Valencia, California. And I want to tell you about the videos we've got. You might want to order one of these. Those of you who listen on the internet, we know from our demographic studies that you guys have more of our materials than those who listen over the radio, because it takes a greater commitment to actually go to kgov.com, download the MP3, which, by the way, is the preferred way to listen over the web. You might listen to real audio, and people who have dial-up access, they tend to get kicked off the website, congestion, disconnected, and that's frustrating, and I really feel for you. I'm sorry you go through that, but it's really not a function of kgov.com. Those, our listeners over the web who listen with the, say, a cable connection, high-speed cable modem, or an ISDN line, or different ways to listen via high-speed over satellite, those folks tell us that they virtually never get cut off. One guy's told me that he's been listening for over 2 years to every show, and he thinks maybe he got disconnected once. And that's our experience, too. We use those kind of high-speed connections. So if you're a low-speed dial-up, you're pretty much stuck listening to the real audio stream, because you don't have to download the whole show first. It's as the slow download. You listen to it while you go, so it takes an hour. If it takes an hour to download that, well, you listen to it. But I want to suggest to you guys an idea at night before you go to bed. Right-click on an MP3, or before you leave the house, when you're not going to be using your computer, right-click on the MP3, which is just to the right of the real audio, the show title, and then do save as. Save it to your desktop or wherever you'd put such a thing. It's about a 20-megabyte file. And so while you sleep, your computer, as long as you don't get kicked off, it'll download the MP3. And then the next morning, it's on your desktop. And you could listen without any interruption. And that's the preferred method. And then if you like it, you could burn it onto a CD. How many shows can you fit on a single CD? 20 megabytes. A CD holds over 700. What, 30, 35 shows? You can fit a lot of shows on one CD. So anyway, that's the preferred way. So you guys, you listen on the web. You got a lot of our stuff ready. Thank you very much for your support. We're back. Bob and Yart Live, 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. The governor of Minnesota, Jesse the Brain Ventura, has compared, in a radio interview this week, he compared having students say the Pledge of Allegiance to the Nazis, the Hitler Youth, and the Taliban. So the Pledge of Allegiance, teaching kids to be respectful and teaching them a commitment toward their country, he compared to the Hitler Youth and the Taliban. All right, let's go back to California. And Randy, go right ahead.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
The point I was trying to make was through your ministry, studying the plot and the Bible, that I would never say to this man, this girl's father, Dave, that works for me.
Right.
I would never say that this was, part of God's plan.
Mm.
And in some way, it's going to work for the good or something like that.
Right.
And that would be a cliche that I may have used before, before I started studying.
Right. The most terrible things happen. And God in the Bible even says on a couple of occasions, he said, it never entered my mind that you would do these things or to command such things. And a lot of people think that every single thing that happens, this is what the pagan Greeks thought centuries before Christ. They thought that every single thing that happened was predetermined by God. And they called it providence and fate. And they thought everything was predestined. so that if a child was brutally raped, tortured, and murdered, that ages ago God conceived in his mind each one of those filthy actions. And then he programmed his creatures to perform those for some sickening way to get glory out of it. And that, sadly, Christians who don't think clearly enough, they'll tell people, even unbelievers, well, this was God's plan. Like when Columbine happened, Randy,
right.
Now that's not far from our church. And one of our members has a store right on Catty Corner from Columbine, right on Bowles and Monaco. I forget the streets now. But Pierce and whatever. I'm sorry. I shouldn't be saying on a national show what street it is. But there's a mom whose son was killed at Columbine, and the Christians around her were all saying that this was God's plan. And I'm thrilled, Randy, that you haven't said that to this guy you work with.
Right. Right. He would hate God if I said something like that.
Well, the mom I'm thinking of,
yes.
I don't want to give her name, and I've had an opportunity to talk with her and to try to dissuade her, but her living son, who is a bit younger than the one who was killed at Columbine,
mm-hmm.
he now hates God.
Right.
And he's an atheist, which is a contradiction, if I recall the atheist part correctly.
Right.
And because if God planned this, then what's the difference between God and Adolf Hitler?
Right.
And good point. That's a good point. If God is evil, if God promotes wickedness, if he's the author of evil, then that kind of God should be rejected. But our God, the God of the Bible, is not that kind of God. But Christians, how many Christians attribute to God wickedness? Just tragically, it's millions of Christians do that out of ignorance.
Right.
It's not only ignorance, it's also out of sinfulness, because they've heard that. And so their pride, they refuse to reconsider. And so they attribute evil to God. I remember a Red Cross commercial that aired on the radio here in Denver, you know, our flagship station. We're on the Information Radio Network. Our flagship station is KLTT Radio in Denver. And on another local radio station, the Red Cross was airing a spot. And they were talking about floods, hurricanes, earthquakes, tornadoes. And they said, how do you follow an act of God? With an act of man. Give to the Red Cross. And I was infuriated. I called them up, and really, on the air, I called them up to tell them how we condemn them for suggesting that man is more compassionate than God, and that God causes the problems, and then men have to solve them.
That's about as liberal of a statement as you can make, isn't it?
Yeah, right. All right, so hey, Randy, this is exciting to hear. I said I'd give you 20 minutes to cut that out. So you read the plot, and I should really move on because this is becoming an infomercial. But, Randy, the plot lists hundreds, if not thousands, of Bible verses that seem to contradict on all kinds of doctrinal issues.
Right.
Like, can you lose your salvation or can you not? Do Christians go through the tribulation or do they not? Is there rapture or is there not?
Right.
Are you going to get healed or are you not? Should you speak in tongues or should you not? All these, and on all these doctrinal debates, there are many verses on both sides.
Right.
That people use to prove one or the other. Were you aware of that tension before you got involved learning through Bob and Your Life? Were you aware that there were all these doctrinal debates that Christians wrestled over?
Oh, yeah.
And so then what the plot does is it says rather than fight with each one of those debates individually that will take you the rest of your life,
right,
just to become just somewhat conversant on those issues, look at the overview of the whole Bible first, and from the strength of understanding the plot of the Bible, then thousands of verses that seem to contradict will be instantly resolved.
Right. I have a friend that I've been giving the tapes on the plot, and he's in the second you know, chapter 5 through 9, I think it is.
The second part of the plot.
The second part, right.
Part 1 is the overview.
Right.
Part 2 is the details.
Right, and he's so excited. It's just like myself, you know, he says that now it's just so much clearer. And he is in a Christian ministry right now, and he's sharing this with other brothers in that ministry.
Oh, praise
God. And they're just saying, where did you come up with that? And he said, oh, a friend of mine, he gave me some tapes. And he said, well, that stuff is right on, man. That just is so clear.
Praise the Lord. Hey, Randy, the plot, you know, we sell it as a manuscript. It's an unpublished manuscript. You get 320 pages printed out. It's got a nice cover. It looks pretty good. It's three-hole punched if you want to put it in a binder. But we haven't got it published yet, but it sold more copies than most published books.
Right.
And at a high price. We charge $29.95 for it. But we do offer a money-back guarantee.
Right.
So, Randy, and then people tell us that once you get an overview of the Bible, then it's enjoyable to read it because so many Christians don't read the Bible that much because it's so confusing to them.
Exactly.
Oh, boy. Hey, I love this, but I think I'm going to get canceled by IRN if I just keep talking, letting you talk. This has become an infomercial. But it's at the heart of what we do. We want Christians to understand the Bible so they could refute the lunatic liberals out there who are the enemies of God. And Christians are so shallow, generally speaking, in their understanding of the Bible. They just don't know it. You become a Christian, you go to a church, and right away you get buried in some detailed debate over some doctrinal issue. And
right.
And you, as a young Christian, you could be persuaded anyway on any doctrine because what do you know? And you're shown these 8 verses in the Bible that absolutely prove a point, and then there's 30 others that absolutely prove the opposite point. And how do you deal with those apparent contradictions? Well, you can only deal with it knowing the overview of the Bible. Whether you get that from us or on your own or another ministry, you got to get it or you're going to be pretty ineffective.
Exactly.
All right. Hey, Randy, thank you so much. Well, anything else?
No, not right now.
All right.
But good talking to you.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate the call. Randy, calling in from Valencia, California, to encourage us here on Bob in Your Life. And, you know, that's exactly what he's done. That's encouragement. And Theology Online, to tie those two calls together, they've gotten over 500,000 posts. Now, you know when a website says 3 million hits? Well, that's unaudited normally. I mean, some firms will audit stuff like that, but normally that's unaudited, so they could make it up. And a hit, somebody might visit a website and generate hundreds of hits in one visit. It's possible. Normally, you wouldn't generate hundreds. You might generate 10 or 20 hits in a single visit, maybe 80, or depending on what you do, what you look at, what you click on, what you access. And you might click on something that might cause multiple hits just on one click. And so the number of hits is somewhat irrelevant. The number of visits is more interesting. But the number of posts, that's fascinating. Because that means people come to your website, get involved, read, spend time, and then take the time to author a response or a comment on some issue. And Theology Online has had between 500,000 and 1 million posts. It's a great site, and that's where you go to get the best in theology debates.
Why does God...
All right, stop the tape. This is a live commercial break here on Bob and Yart Live. I want to tell you about our videos. You could call up 1-888-8-NYART and order a video. They're between $20 and $25. All right, here's a list of them. Get Out of the Matrix. That's our smash hit where I debated a philosophy class. We've got Defending the Faith, where I join an apologist, David Spiegel, and we talk about the overwhelming evidence for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then we got Bob Debates an Evolutionist, where Dr. Eugenie Scott, she was on PBS on a debate against creation, and then she was on Bob and Yart Live, and it's up to you to guess where did she get slaughtered. The planets, stars, and the Bible. You know the Star of Bethlehem in the Bible when Jesus was born? What was that all about? And the zodiacs, the 12 zodiacs, and that they're ancient. And they start with a virgin, and they end with Leo the lion, and they go through the scales of justice and the battle that's described. And you've got, in the center of it all, the strong man with his head on the serpent, crushing the serpent's head. What is that all about? And what is the tie-in with the Bible? Call us, 1-888-8-NYART. Get the video, Planets, Stars, and the Bible. You'll love it. Infanticide Exposed, the New York Times, a 3-page article arguing in the New York Times that it should be legal to kill a baby after he's born. Learn about that and see what we're up against. Confronting an Atheist, where I got to debate an atheist on the show, and in the middle of the debate, we put a skit. What a fun skit. This skit shows a science teacher from a public high school. He died, and he's standing before God on Judgment Day. You got to check out that skit. Call us 1-888-8-NYART. All right, Bob Enyart Live, 1-888-8-NYART. That's 836-9278. That's the order line. And the call-in line, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Let's go to Loveland, Colorado. Ray, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob. It's so good to talk to you.
Thank you, sir. What's up?
Well, I'm so thrilled that Information Radio Network is standing by you and keeping you on the air. That, just to me, is very exciting.
Well, that's nice of you. And what I would infer from that is that you're aware that Bob Enyart Live has had a long history, over 10 years, of going from one radio station to another, one TV station to another, one network to another. And we get a bit controversial. And so you take heat just by airing the show.
That's right.
And they're sticking with us. That is,
they sure are, and they just need to be condemned. Condemned?
commended
for that.
They need to be commended.
Yeah, boy, I'll talk about a slip.
Oh, that's
listen,
all
there's
right.
Two things I want to talk about.
Yes, sir.
NYPD.
The TV show or the actual?
The TV show.
Okay.
And the Book of Revelation.
Whoa, that's a combination.
Now, they're not related.
All right.
But I'll go with the NYPD first.
All right.
I just happened to turn it on. I've never watched the show.
And good
and
for
I
you.
Happened to watch it.
Good for
and
you.
There was
for
a story within yeah. a story.
Yeah, well, good for you for not watching it. Because
yes.
undoubtedly, it's terrible.
I just happened to watch it, and yeah. there was a story within a story.
Yeah.
The main story was the pursuit of the criminal in the sexual field in New York City. The inside story was the acceptance of the immorality within the unit that was doing the investigating.
Oh.
Is that being hypocritical or what?
Yeah, right. Very good point.
It was amazing how the Hollywood puts those two together.
Yeah, yeah, right, exactly. Because they're so immoral, and how could they really do a story about justice when they're filthy?
And have an inside story about the affair going on between the two investigators.
Great. Is it one or the other married?
Neither, I don't believe. I don't know the characters,
all
but
right.
the one main character, I believe, is the heavyset guy that's a little bit bald.
Yeah.
And he was the main character in this inside story. And it was just, I had to watch it because it was so, it just bugged me so bad I had to see why, how they were going to come out with it. And
well,
it
now, awesome. Ray, I'm not going to buy that reasoning. I had to watch it because, but yeah, I'm glad you don't normally watch that show. And neither would I, but it's interesting to hear from you this report of their dilemma.
The dilemma is awful.
Yeah, and they always have this type of dilemma. Yeah.
Now, and to the Book of Revelation, I would
right.
just like to say I have the privilege and the honor of listening to your tape series on the Book of Revelation. And at this particular time where we see all the different individuals out there professing this to be the end times,
yeah,
what a great time for someone who is in doubt or wondering what is really going on to listen to your series on the Book of Revelation.
On Revelation. We have it in two albums. That's so very kind of you, Ray. You know what I wish? I wish we could squeeze another tape into that album because the album covers, normally they hold, you know, six. So we have two six-tape albums. But our September 11th tape where we talked about did God predict the World Trade Center attack? I don't know if you've ever heard that, Ray.
I have.
You have heard that. Wouldn't that be a great inclusion with the Revelation albums?
Yes, it would.
Oh, that would be so great.
It really would.
Would it fit in. And you know what? My office manager would kill me because of maintaining the inventory and all, but I'm going to toy with the idea of changing one of those albums to a 7-tape album and sticking that in there.
Well, I would just like to, it's hard to explain the detail that you go into. Fact is, I have listened to the first album, at least 5 times, just to try to absorb into it the details that you put into it, because of those teaching that I had since 1972.
Yeah.
And to try and revise the teaching, it takes sometimes 4 or 5 times to hear what you have to say to override what was pounded into my head all those years.
Wow. Hey, I just got an instant message from a guy named Ice Keys in Indianapolis, Indiana. And he says, is this Bob or some other right-wing religious fanatic? And he says, I've been re-enjoying the John Bible Study albums. Thank you very much. So the interesting thing, we get so many instant messages that pop up during the show, Ray, but the book of Revelation and the book of John were both written by John.
Right.
And it's good to know that. And it's, boy, the John study is, tape one of the John study, Is This Man God?
Right.
Is one of those pieces of teaching that we have been overwhelmingly blessed by the thanks we get from people for putting that out on the deity of Jesus Christ.
It's so important.
And then the book of Revelation shows what Jesus does with that deity. It's pretty neat. All right. Hey, thank you very, very much.
All right, Bob. It's so good to talk to you. And God bless you and keep up the good work, sir.
Appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
All right. We've got an email here at kgovlive@aol.com, subject premarital counseling, and then in capital letters, help, H-E-L-P. Greetings, Bob. I guess I have a question that is of the premarital counseling variety. So, now it's always an ongoing challenge for us. People who listen to this show, they realize they hear it for a little bit, and some people are immediately put off. But then others, they realize there's some biblical depth behind the show. And as they go through their own lives, they have questions about their own lives, marriages, raising kids, whatever. And they'd like input. And we're overwhelmed here with work. And so people will call or email. And, of course, to help someone with a serious situation, it might take hours or weeks or longer. And we're not able to do that. So there's always this dilemma of how to handle that. Let's go to Bloomington, Indiana. Dwayne, speak your mind.
Bob, how are you?
Doing great, Dwayne.
Good.
We're almost out of time. I'm going to try to get 2 last callers in, so you got the floor, sir.
Okay. I was wondering what you think about organ donors.
Organ donors, theoretically it's fine, but there is the danger that you might be in an accident, and since there's such a low sanctity of life in the medical community, value for life, they might be able to save you, but they see that you're going to donate your eyes and your heart, and they think, well, this guy's 30 years old, and an 18-year-old could use this heart, so we'll just harvest his organs. And I'm not just making that up out of nowhere. You could read about this concern, and it's a real concern. So there's nothing wrong, theoretically, with donating organs, but there's an implementation problem. I would never have my kids ever, ever, ever sign an organ donor card, because they might be in an accident, and rather than going through extraordinary means to save their lives, the guy in the emergency room might say, well, we could use his organs.
Yeah.
So that's where I come on it.
Okay.
Why, have you had an experience with this?
Yeah, my brother-in-law died a week ago, and after he was off life support, he'd already died. Then they asked if they wanted to donate eyes and skin and things like that.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, that's what we did.
Yeah, very good.
Okay.
Hey, Dwayne, thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate that call.
Hey, and I wanted to plug your Does God Exist seminar.
Does God Exist in Indianapolis?
August 17th,
August 17th. What's the name of the church?
I don't remember.
Grace Church.
Yeah.
I can't wait, too. I'm really looking forward to it. All right, thanks, Dwayne.
Okay.
All right, let's go to Littleton. Wait a second here. Let's go to Littleton, Colorado. Dave, speak your mind. Hello, Dave. No, I don't have Dave. All right, we're going to try that. We're going to try that again. Hey, Dave? No, we lost. I can't pick him up. See if you could get him, and we'll try to pick him up. So, now, we never got around to, we hardly got around to the Jesse Ventura story, which I wanted to give you some of the details. But he compared teaching students, having students in public schools recite the Pledge of Allegiance. Now, Jesse Ventura, he's a Libertarian Party member, and he's a liberal. Those two things are requirements. They go together. Libertarian Party members are liberal, and they're sexually immoral, and they will legalize killing innocent children, for example, and helping sick old people, unloved old people, lonely old people kill themselves. They legalize all things like that, and prostitution and pimps who sexually exploit women and the porn industry. They legalize all that, and selling heroin to teenagers, crack cocaine, they legalize all that. On and on and on. Anyway, paying people to kill themselves, hiring women to sell, let's say a saleswoman sells jet airplanes. That's what, you know, somebody sells jet airplanes, and you make a pretty good commission on it. And the company that sells the jet airplanes, they really make a lot of money. So a company like that can hire good-looking women to sell the planes, which they may do right now, and then say, by the way, if our clients want to have sex with you, you have to go ahead and do that because we want to get the sale. And they would legalize all that. So anyway, Jesse Ventura, Libertarian Party member, he compared having kids in a school say the Pledge of Allegiance. He compared it to the Hitler Youth. He called it the brown shirts. He compared it to the young brown shirts, and he was confused. He meant to compare it to the Hitler Youth. But what a disaster that a governor of one of the 50 states would not understand the basic concept of teaching young people respect and reinforcing commitment. And he would compare that to the Hitler Youth. What an absolute tragedy. How despicable. You know, Jesse Ventura is not qualified to be a leader because, well, for one, he thinks that people should have the right to kill their babies. A baby in the womb sucking his thumb, playing with his toes. When he gets tired, he falls asleep. And then when he sleeps, he dreams. And he could hear his mother's voice. If there's a little too much amniotic fluid, you know how the doctors deal with that? They inject some glucose into the uterus, and it makes the amniotic fluid taste sweet. And so the baby says, what's this? This tastes good. And he drinks more of the amniotic fluid, and he passes it through. And so that reduces the amount of amniotic fluid. I mean, these little babies, they're babies. If they're born early, they're babies. They love their mom. And Jesse Ventura supports the right to kill those babies. Now, George W. Bush, he only supports the right to kill some of those babies. That little precious baby, if he had a criminal father, and George W. Bush says you have the right to kill that precious baby if his father was a criminal. Why would Bush say that? This is Bob Inyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.